Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up, Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Borley, and sitting in, my co-host, and the editor at Scrap Fight Magazine and the MMA Corner, Mr. Josh Davis, will be joining us shortly. Let me just wrap a few things up. Lot to talk about, you know. Chris Cyborg making her UFC debut. It seems she's kind of in limbo, so we'll discuss that, you know, especially with her, you know, adamant about defending her Invicta title. Where does Verdum go from here? We also have a UFC event coming up and a lot of other news. This week, Chris Weidman announced that he's off UFC 199 due to a severe herniated disc. So, a lot to talk about. Thanks for joining us, brother. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Doing well. Like you said, a lot to get into.
Well, let's get right to it. First question, where does Chris Cyborg go from here?
Well, you know, the UFC has reported that they're looking for the fight at UFC 201 against Jermaine, can't pronounce her last name, but she also just fought it at UFC 198. And Cyborg has balked at that and said, no, she's not doing that, that she's defending, her next fight will be an Invicta defending her 145-pound title, and that she doesn't want to do any more catch weight. She doesn't want to do 135 pounds, that she's a 145-pound fighter.
Yeah, and she is. And there's no doubt about it, and the UFC knew that when they, you know, when Dana White stripped her of her title and basically closed her division. So, you know, I don't know what the huge, you know, what the huge, how do I say this? I don't know why they would not feel that way. You know what I mean? From the beginning.
Yeah, I do know why the UFC did everything they did, so they could push Ronda and not Cyborg. So the only way you can do that is by creating a division that Cyborg can't compete in, and that's what they did with the 135-pound division. And now that it's pretty much a guarantee that Ronda Rousey isn't going to be fighting Cyborg and probably isn't going to be fighting ever again, you know, there's no more need for Cyborg to even try and, you know, entertain that weight cut. So now she's just focused on 145 pounds. And if that's an Invicta, then that's an Invicta. The UFC is still the one paying her. It doesn't matter. The UFC owns her contract. They just allow her to fight an Invicta.
Yeah. You know, look, they can do whatever they want to do, how they want to do it. So, you know, we'll definitely see. But she doesn't have anything to prove. You know, the UFC putting her on almost a 5-year, 6-year hiatus because they wanted to didn't help her out at all. If anything, it slowed her down because those were prime fighting years for her life. And let me say this, I do understand that really there was really nobody that wanted to fight or could fight Cyborg at that particular time, you know, during her career. She had to be put in limbo. But as a fighter, you know, it's not fair to her. It's definitely not fair to her. And so it's just
no, it's
it just
not. That's why she
is.
Had to take kickboxing fights.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just wasn't fair to her. So it's crazy how this whole thing happened. But, you know, the person that she fought, it was just like a gimme. Yeah. And I say this all the time because – they market it this way. Oh, they sparred together when they were this, that, and the third. This should be a compelling fight. No, it shouldn't. You know why that bothers me? It's because everybody that I spar with or have sparred with, I don't go 100% with. 25-30% of my strength, skill, and ability at best. That's it. You know what I mean? Now, somebody that I'm
there's a reason why they call it
fighting.
Sparring.
Exactly. Somebody I'm going to compete against and fight against, I've gone 100%. You know, I've pulled things out of my tool belt. Even my instructors have said, man, we didn't know you had that in you or you could do that. You know what I mean? Because it's just something that I keep in my tool belt. Like, You know, that's not a sparring technique. That's a fighting technique.
Well, it's like when John Jones fought Rashad Evans and he landed all the elbow strikes. In his post-fight interview, he said exactly that. He was like, yeah, Rashad and I trained together, but he had no idea that the whole time and that we were sparring, I was thinking that I could land these elbows on him. Now, you don't do that in sparring because you could really hurt somebody, but in a fight, it's different. And, you know, he basically knocked Rashad out in the third round with those elbows. The fight was never the same after that.
Yeah. And we said this on the show. He stepped off the gas, you know, didn't want to embarrass him too much, but the fight was basically over. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes with Cyborg. Next thing, Verdum. Is it me, or did Verdum take Stipe lightly? I mean, all the faces that he was making, did he not realize Stipe came to fight?
You know, well, I picked Verdum to win this fight. And then I saw him walk out to the cage. And he made the Verdum face that, you know, we all call it now. I counted five times. When you're thinking and stopping and making your little face and posing, that lets me know that you're not thinking about the fight. And he made a rookie mistake running after a striker with his chin out. Yeah, he wasn't. He absolutely took Stipe lightly, and he paid the price. You
there
know,
we
think
go.
About
his, said it.
Think about his last fights. There was none of that. Verdum was on point. He was mentally focused. Yes, he was having fun afterwards, but not beforehand. And so, yeah, he took him lightly. He mentally wasn't there. He was joking around, made a rookie mistake, and paid the price.
Yeah. I mean, he was sleep, out sleep, not even days, like, you know. And as soon as I saw
out
it,
cold.
I just shook my head. I'm like, I can't believe he, and soon as I said, I couldn't even say doing this, he just threw the punch. And I'm just like, yeah, I saw that punch coming all the time. That's a basic punch for a striker, especially a boxer. You know, circle, cut, throw it, you know. So it's crazy. How does that shake up the heavyweight division?
You know.
Finish your thought.
Well, what I was going to say is again, in that manner, it's very simple. You don't chase someone. You don't go to where they were because that's how they're going to put you to sleep. You cut them off. You go to where they're going. You get there first, and you put them to sleep. It's, again, it's keep it simple, stupid. There's not a whole lot to it. How hard it shakes up the heavyweight division, I know Verdum wants an immediate rematch, but it sounds like Verdum's going to get either Cain Velasquez or Travis Brown, depending on how that fight shapes up. And it sounds like the next heavyweight title shot is going to go to Overeem. So, you know, there's a lot of guys in line in the heavyweight division. However, it's not a deep division. It's the same guys that have been in line for the last 4 or 5 years.
I mean, yeah, you can call them now. Kane, Junior, you know, Verdum, Stipe now, Overeem, you know, maybe one more, maybe Mark Hunt, maybe, you know, maybe Josh Barnett, you know, it's the same, six, seven, eight guys, Travis Brown, you can throw, maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe
yep.
A big country in there, you know, so, same guys, just going to be a
the UFC, they really need some new blood in that heavyweight division because all of the top 10 guys, you know, and we'll just say from Orlovsky all the way down to now the current champ, Stipe Miocic, they've been the same for, like I said, the last 4 or 5 years. They've just switched positions. But that is one division that is in dire need of new blood because every other division has it. It's just the heavyweight division that is still the same guys.
Yeah, they need a new Brock Lesnar-type figure to come in and shake that heavyweight division up.
They do.
So, we'll see. Past that, what other news out there besides those three things. A lot to talk about. Chris Weidman, I apologize. It's serious. It's definitely serious. His injury. I'm surprised that he let it go so long. I mean, I understand fighters, but, you know, how bad is it?
You know, I've actually had the surgery that he's about to have, and I know the pain that he's going through, and yeah, you know, you want to continue to do everything that you normally do, and you can for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden you can't, and then you can again for a couple of days. So while the injury is there, it's a very tricky injury. I mean, it's deceitful. It allows you to think that you're okay, and then all of a sudden you're not okay, and you're in pain for days. But then you're fine again for a couple of days. I mean, you're not 100%, but you're good enough to think, all right, I can continue on. And the whole time, you're just doing more damage. And when you actually feel fine, it's because you've damaged new nerve endings because of the bulging or herniated disc. And that's causing less pain. But it's not a good thing. And so I've had the exact same surgery he's about to have. I hope he's ready to go by UFC 205 in November. But I got to be honest, I think he's probably going to be looking, depending on how severe the damage is, I think he could be looking at a little bit longer of a rehab time.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I always don't like to put limits on those injuries because guys come back too quick because they think they have to, and then they re-injure it. Then it's worse. You know, there's nothing worse than an injury than a re-injury. There really isn't. Because the re-injury sometimes takes twice as long. You know, that happened to me when I strained my hamstring. Oh, I was great, this, that, and the third, boom. Strained it again, 18 months. 18 months it took me. You know, people are looking at me like, you're still? I'm like, yeah. You know, what can I do? What can I say? It's just that long. Just that long. You know, so it's crazy.
You know, again, like with the hamstring, that's a muscle you use every day, all day long. And so, yeah, if you don't allow it to heal, it's never going to heal. Same thing with your back. You use it in everything you do. We take it for granted because we don't think about it. But absolutely, if you don't take care of it, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, man, no doubt about it. So many of my friends now are having back problems. I'm like, we're only 40. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, back problems you expect, you know, early 50s, 60s. You go, okay, yeah, I could probably figure that. But we're in our 40s. What are you talking about, back problem? But it's true. We use those muscles every day.
Yep. And when I tell people I've already had multiple back surgeries and the next thing I have coming is a full-on fusion, yeah, it's something we take for granted because, again, when it works, you know, and you don't ever think about it.
Crazy. Any other fight news that we should be talking about? Things that broken, anything?
Well, I think the big thing, talking about that, again, everyone just...
Hello, you still there?
Is that better? Hello? All right.
Go ahead.
All right, so yeah, no, there's, I think the big thing, and no one is talking about it, is ESPN is trying to start a fight with the UFC, and I don't know why. First, they dropped the news about the sale of the UFC. Then they dropped the news about Ronda Rousey and HGH, which, again, everyone within this, in the media world has known about both of those for a very long time. And for ESPN to come out and break it the way they did, you know, you're really just poking the bear. But more importantly, Conor McGregor on SportsCenter yesterday, you know, I was kind of shocked that the UFC actually approved that. But even more important than that was what they were talking about. Yes, Dana White, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta had dinner with Conor, but no one's talking about what was said. I know Conor was pushing for two things. permission to fight Floyd Mayweather and to get Nate Diaz back on the UFC 200 card. There's still only four main card fights on UFC 200, and we don't know what's going on with Floyd and Conor. I want to know what was finalized at that dinner, but no one's talking about it.
But what does McGregor want to do? He wants to box Mayweather, or he wants to fight him MMA and Mayweather box? What's the whole gist with that?
No, he wants to box Mayweather. So Conor's done training MMA at the moment. He's actually been in Los Angeles training at Freddie Roach's gym and working on boxing. And unfortunately, there's videos of this all over YouTube now, and Conor's getting tuned up. You know, he is absolutely getting outboxed by, you know, B-level boxers.
But I don't understand this. Why don't you stay in your lane? Okay, look, even if Floyd hasn't fought in a year, he still has the skills, the bobbing, the weaving. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it, you know.
And now he wants
to box one of the best pound-for-pound boxers in the entire world?
One of the best pound-for-pound boxers ever. All right, Floyd will, in a boxing ring, Floyd will kill Conor. It's not even going to be close. In an octagon, Conor would kill Floyd. He'd kick his leg one time, Floyd wouldn't be able to stand, and that would be that. But we're talking boxing here, and Floyd's going to kill him. But for Conor, it's two things. First off, Conor has the fundamental belief in himself that he can beat anybody at anything at any given time. Whether it's ping pong in somebody's backyard or it's, you know, a $1 million prize fight. He thinks he's the best at everything that he does. Number two, if this fight happens, they're going to be splitting a $1 billion pay-per-view. That's, you know, while I think he will get his butt handed to him, when you're guaranteed, you know, $350 million, I don't know how you say no to that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, now who's making that $350 million guarantee, Floyd or the networks?
The networks. Floyd actually is thinking that he's going to make more, that he's going to make probably close to $500. Now, that's the other thing that they're going to have to, if this fight ever does happen, that's something they're going to have to agree on. It's going to have to be a 50-50 split. But Conor thinks he's the bigger draw. Floyd thinks he's the bigger draw. Both of them want, you know, 60-40, 70-30, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and here we go again. It's the same Manny Pacquiao situation. The reason why this fight won't happen is because they both can't get out their way. You know, Floyd should be great with the eight figures that he made during the Pacquiao fight. And, you know, Conor hasn't gone that high. Yes, he's made the UFC $400 million, but how much of that did he keep? Did he keep $150 million of that money?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's gone that high.
No.
I don't think he's gone that high. You know, if he made 10% of that, 20% of that, you know, I'd be surprised. I would really be surprised. You know, I can see him making, if he made them $400 million, I could see him making probably $40 million of it. But, you know, I can't see him walking away with $100 million, you know, $150 million out of $400 million. The UFC is just not built like that.
No, that's not how the UFC does things. The UFC keeps all their money. If Conor hit the $40 million mark, honestly, I'd be a little surprised. I think he's probably closer to the $25-30 million area. Not that that's chump change or anything to shake a stick at, but it's not Floyd Mayweather money.
So let me ask you another question really quick. The sale of the UFC, have they settled on a buyer? Did they release that?
So right now there are four bids. The highest bidder is just over $3 billion with a B, billion dollars. And it's a media group out of China. So we'll see how that goes. I don't think the UFC will allow anything on this to get out until after UFC 200. But I think after 200 is when we will hear the announcement that they've sold the company and that they want to buy the Oakland Raiders and bring them to Vegas. And so that's their big push. They want to sell the UFC, generate enough capital to buy the Raiders outright and bring them to Vegas.
You know, they've been in that market. They know how big football is, you know, and, you know, they're in the game. So if they have enough capital to do that, you know, they're definitely in the business. You say what you want about professional football. It's still a multi-billion-dollar a year business, you know, no matter who you are. Even the worst teams make money in this business, the worst teams with the worst records.
They also want to buy the Palms and the adjacent property to the Palms, and they're in the process of trying to make that happen now to continue expansion of their casino business.
That's where they started. So that doesn't surprise me, you know, them having an ethics strategy, get this little bit of change for them and expanding to where they want to go. You know, that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, the thing about this, it's how's the company going to be run after that, you know. China's currency market isn't that great. And to let that much money go, you know, how's it going to be run? You know? So,
you know, and it's funny. I've asked multiple fighters that exact question. Well, I've termed it, are you afraid of the sale and how it's going to be run, you know, and that kind of stuff. And it's funny how little fighters actually care. You know, none of them seemed overly concerned about the sale of the UFC, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if my current employer was about to sell the business, absolutely I would be concerned because I could be out of a job. You know, they could come in and tell me they want to renegotiate my contract, pay me less money. Or maybe they want to pay me more money, who knows, but absolutely these are all things I would be concerned with.
Yeah, look, you never know. You never know how this whole thing could work out. You know, never know. What their eyes really are. I mean, once you own it, you own it. You can make any changes you want, any way you want. That's what the UFC have done with a lot of other promotions: Pride, Strikeforce, FFA. I mean, WFA. Whoever else. You know what I mean?
You know, the other rumor that's going on is that they only want to sell 20-25% of the company to this Chinese media group for the sole purpose of expansion into China and the rest of Asia.
And that, look, that could be a possibility too, because if people don't understand, with CCTV in Asia, you know, their viewership is over 100 million. That's the minimum, 100 million TV screens, you know. That's just the minimum. And they do very well, very, very well. And at 25%, they're still going to raise the capital that they need, you know, for major investment, either to buy teams, expand casinos, or whatever it is they want to do. And they'll always have that market base. Asia's only getting bigger. The economy is only getting bigger. Forget what you heard. I'm telling everybody now, okay, I got one of my biggest clients. He's a money manager for $1 billion, multi-billion dollar hedge fund company all over the world. It's the biggest economy out there, the biggest, and it will continue to grow, especially when, what, one-third of the world's population is Asian.
Yep.
What does that tell you?
And that number is only going to continue to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Next biggest economy that people are not paying attention to, but it's going to grow huge, India as well too. That's Southern Asia, but it's still considered Asian. You know, still considered Asian. So, and now you're seeing a lot of companies looking towards China and India for bigger things. So, that wouldn't surprise me at all if they sold off a little piece of it. Wouldn't surprise me in a bit.
No, and it's, you know, I don't want to say easy, but it's a quick way to get guaranteed market share in the biggest continent on the planet.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt
about
it.
It is simple business, simple economics, and you know the UFC is trying to get into China for years, and they keep getting kicked out because they don't always play nice in the sandbox, and so let someone else have ownership stake for a high dollar price that allows you to grow the UFC, allows you to expand your casino business, and allows you to get into the NFL. That's a no-brainer. I mean, that's a win all around.
Yeah. You know, even if they sold 50% of it at those particular numbers, it'd be great. It'd be great. You know, there's a unique reason why the Art of War in China started doing promotions again. They must know something on the ground that we don't, you know? So you just got to keep it moving. Maybe they know about this deal and setting their promotion up to be bought as well, too, so they have a foundation on the ground as opposed to reinventing and remaking all this stuff, you know? So
exactly.
We'll see. We'll
exactly. But it's going to happen in July. We will know everything by UFC 200.
No doubt about it. Really quick, did we ever get an explanation as to why Dos Anjos is fighting on Fight Pass?
No. Other than the fact that they're really trying to push Fight Pass. Again, with their global expansion, they really want Fight Pass to be their platform.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense. I thought it was some form of punishment. Who puts a UFC champion on Fight Pass? Fight Pass are where the dark fights go. You know, the dark fights per se on TV, all the fights on the card that never got airplay, those are the dark shows, the dark fights. You know, now with Fight Pass, they basically have an audience now where it works great for the fighters, you know, who are fighting on Fight Pass and all those other things because they have guaranteed sponsorship dollars. You know what I mean? It's not subjective. They're on Fight Pass. But it's just interesting.
Yeah, it is. But expect to see more of it as they, again, try and push Fight Pass. We saw Michael Bisping and Anderson Silva on Fight Pass. You know, expect to see more big-time fights on Fight Pass.
It's definitely all good. I might have missed this. Why did Anderson's fight get pulled off the Brazil card?
Gallbladder infection, emergency surgery. And so
for him, right?
For Anderson, yep, happened the Tuesday of fight week. So, you know, obviously there was nothing he could do. He started feeling sick when he went to the doctor. They checked him out, had a massive infection. He needed to have immediate emergency surgery to essentially save his gallbladder, and that was that.
Okay. Yeah, I kept looking, but I couldn't find it. Circle back, Michael Bisping, 3 weeks notice. What does Michael know that we don't?
Michael wants his title shot, plain and simple. Michael knows that his career is winding down and he might not get another one. He's actually in the middle of filming a sequel to the Triple X trilogy with Vin Diesel, all that kind of stuff. So he was filming yesterday, as a matter of fact. So I think he wants his title shot, and you know, it's now or never kind of thing. And so he took the opportunity that was given. As much as I love Bisping and would like to see him win this fight, I don't think he's going to. I don't give him much of an opportunity. He's got a pretty big hill to climb.
No doubt about it. But you never know. This is the fight game. So
yep.
We'll see. We'll see how this whole thing works out. But that's our show.
I didn't think he'd beat Anderson Silva, and he did.
Yeah, he did. With some controversy, but he did.
Yes.
Don't forget, for this or any other episode, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. For latest MMA news and information, you can go to The MMA Corner. That's TheMMACorner.com. And check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine in the Android Marketplace and the Apple Store at ScrapFightMag.com. I want to thank you for sitting in, brother. Everybody else, stay knuckled up. Enjoy your fights, and we'll talk next week. We'll
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.